Dear Lord, we're thankful that we can come here and worship you today. We're thankful for your blessings of this past week, and we ask for a Sabbath day's blessing as we worship together, and we ask for your presence here as well. And pray all these things in your name, amen.
Turn to our scripture reading today. It's found in Matthew 6:33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Morning. This is a smaller group than we've been having. I'd say we've been having usually between 65 and 80 recently, and so sometimes probably the weather scares people a little bit in the morning, but in my house when there's snow flying, it's like this great celebration, you know, like everybody's prayers have been answered, and it's a wonderful thing, you know. I have to go, yeah, that's great, you know, it's really good. it's winter, it's time. We live in Oswego County, got to expect it. It's gonna happen sometime. Let it happen, I guess, and be thankful for it. I'd like to have you look up a couple of texts with me this morning. First thing, everybody's in luck this morning. I probably have limited voice, so I'll have a limited sermon. Look up Hebrews 2 and verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. It's talking about Christ. And it's telling us that he's been through what we've been through. Let's go to Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's turn to Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. It would be an unbelievable thing to have the creator of the universe say, I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you. It's not a general statement. He was saying to Peter, I prayed for you, that you'd make it through this. Let's go to James 4:7. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what Christ was saying to Peter. You know, I've prayed for you, that you'll be converted, that you'll submit. I want to tell you a short story, and in a small way, it illustrates what Christ would desire for us. You know, the Bible talks about him being our older brother. He's been through what we've been through, and worse, and more difficult, tempted in a greater way, bore the guilt of our sins, and even though he was without guilt. There was a man a few years ago, and I'll preface the story just a little bit with a couple of facts. Farming has its like cycles. It goes good some years and bad some years, and it's always how it's been. It has cycles, and sometimes it's surprising who comes out the other side of those cycles. In the past 10 years, to give you an example, in 2000 there was just shy of 10,000 men who were dairy farmers in New York State. It was like 9,749. And in 2010 there was 4,500 left. So in those 10 years, reduced by more than 50%. And of course, people retire, people, you know, there are various reasons, but there are also reasons where the margin gets small and squeezes people out. Those are just the facts. Well, back in approximately 20 years ago, farming was going through one of those down cycles. Dairying especially was going through one of those down cycles. And there was a man by the name of Richard Hawkins. And he was about 90 years old. He was not a farmer, but had been a farmer and grew up on a farm. And lots of times if you've been a farmer or grew up on a farm, there's a place in your heart that just, it always remains there, you know, that it gives you a certain feeling when you go by a farm or whatever, or see cattle or crops growing, you know, you almost have a desire to be part of it, you know, long after it's passed. And this man, like I said, was in his 90s and was about 90 years old. And he was really struggling with the idea that the farms in his area, he was from Western New York, were disappearing. Most of them never to get started again. And being as he was 90 years old and he had farmed part of his life, he'd seen those cycles up and down, up and down. Empathy in his heart, you know, he'd seen tough times. And he decided that the men in his little corner of the world, it consisted of about 15 farms. I didn't tell you that he actually went in the restaurant business after he was a farmer. Had a string of franchises, which he eventually sold, and he was a wealthy man. And in his little corner of the world, there was about 15 farms that were still operating. And majority of them going through some difficult times. And he decided that he was going to take it upon himself to see if he could change history a little bit and not just watch them drop like flies and go out of business. And so he knew each of these men personally, and what happens with dairymen lots of times when times get tough, the thing that you your biggest expense, single expense usually, is the grain that you purchase to feed the cattle every month. And if you want to get a lot of milk, you purchase quite a lot of grain. And it amounts to, if you don't grow any grain, it amounts to about 25 or 30% of your income gets used to purchase grain. So when times get tough, a lot of times what happens is all the other bills get paid, but not quite all the grain bill. And slowly it gets to be 30 days and 60 days and 90 days and 120 days. And the man who owns the grain mill generally knows these people personally and figures, well, when the cycle goes the other way, he'll get caught up. I knew a man who milked 50 cows. And when he went out of business, his grain man, remember, it's unsecured. These bills are unsecured because the grain is gone. It's eaten. It's used up, finished. And he owed over $100,000 to his grain man when he went out of business. Not nearly enough assets to pay the things that he owed, and they got a small portion of it. And this has happened over and over and over again. The debt was just far greater than what could be paid with the assets. Our debt is far greater than what could be paid with anything that we might be able to do, that we might be able to come up with. Well, this man had a plan for the farmers in his little valley, and he got them together and he said, I'll tell you what, boys, I know these are tough times farming. Tell you what I'll do. I've been through those tough times. I will write a check and pay off the grain bill for every one of you fellas. But in return, I want you to spend one night a week with me at my office. He still had an office. Like I said, he was a wealthy man and he had other interests. One night a week with me for the next 20 weeks, and I want to help you overcome some of the cycles of farming. I want to help you see how you can keep track of things a little closer and perhaps save in some areas. I can help you. I've been through this. Well, these are grown men. Everybody makes their decision. How many do you think took his offer up on paying off the grain bill? Man, that was a tremendous offer. These weren't big farmers, but the largest grain bill was $48,000. And now all of a sudden you're current again. The first week, you know, everybody showed up to that office. I guarantee it, you know. And you'd almost think, with the price that had been paid, everyone would show up every week. Wow, what a blessing, what a generous offer. This guy sees what we've gone through, and he wants us to be able to continue on. He doesn't want us to fail. You know, sometimes we view the offer that Christ has made for us, and we want the check that paid the debt, but we're reluctant to follow through and do some of the things he asks us to do. They're for our own benefit. Some people look at the things that Christ has asked us to do, whether it be in the spirit of prophecy or the Bible. It's for our own benefit. I don't care whether it's the things we eat, how we treat our family, our friends, how we treat our marriage, how we treat our business. I don't care what it is. It's for our own benefit, our own advantage. You know, by the end of that 20 weeks, there were 8 men showing up regular. You know, after 5 months goes by, You know, it's not quite as spectacular as the day it happened. And yet, the offer was still the same. The penalty had been paid, and yet some didn't continue to accept it on an every week basis. And this may be a weak story in a way to express what Christ has done for us and the debt he paid for us and the things he's asked us to do. But to be honest with you, it shouldn't be a difficult thing to accept both the offer of eternal life and a changed life. It shouldn't be a struggle. It should be a daily thanksgiving. And a complete enthusiasm on our part to accept what our older brother, our mentor, has done for us. That story had some good outcomes, and people were able to make it through till the next cycle turned around, you know, and it was wonderful. But you know, this is a long haul we're in, and Christ has offered us eternal life. He's paid the price, and he's just asking us to accept that and accept what our older brother has given us, and both for advice and in terms of freedom from guilt and help through this life. We were reading this week about at home about the crucifixion of Christ, and I just want to read you a short little piece to close. As man's substitute and surety, the iniquity of men was laid upon Christ. He was counted a transgressor that he might redeem them from the curse of the law. The guilt of every descendant of Adam of every age was pressing upon his heart. And the wrath of God and the terrible manifestation of his displeasure because of sin filled the soul of his son. The withdrawal of the divine countenance from the Savior in this hour of anguish, supreme anguish, pierced his heart with a sorrow that can never be understood by man. Every pang endured by the Son of God on the cross, the blood drops that flowed from his head, his hands, and his feet, the agony which racked his frame, the anguish that filled his soul at the hiding of his Father's face from him, speak to man, saying, "It is for love of thee that the Son of God consents to have these crimes laid upon him. For thee he spoils the domain of death and opens the gates of paradise to us. He who stilled the angry waves, who walked the foam-capped billows, who made devils tremble, disease flee from his touch, who raised the dead to life and opened the eyes of the blind, offers himself on the cross as the last sacrifice for man. He, the sin-bearer, endures judicial punishment for sin and becomes sin itself for man." You know, Christ has paid the ultimate price. Angels veiled their faces when Christ was on the cross. I'm sure it was every one of their desire to wring the neck of everyone who was causing it to happen. I mean, they had to have been standing there just wanting to exert the power they had the ability to do. But they couldn't do it. They had to watch him suffer for us, for everyone who had lived before him, and everyone who's going to live after him. Let us remember every day what Christ has done for us and commit ourselves to him on a daily basis. Commit ourselves to not re-crucify Christ on a daily basis, but to accept the gift that was given us and the help that our older brother offers us every day. Lord, help each of us here to take full advantage of the help that you do offer us. We know that you are waiting for us to come to you and help us to be faithful to you, that we can someday spend eternal life with you. We ask this in your name, amen.